Turn your Bibles, will, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We plan to observe the Lord's Supper here this afternoon, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the ordinance that the Lord has made, that we can remember His death and remember His body broken and His blood shed for us. And, of course, not a bone in His body was broken, but His body was whipped and beaten and suffered and carried more than any mortal man has ever known. He was only able to do what He did for us in paying the atonement, making the atonement for our sins. Because He was God, it was the only way He could keep His body alive to endure the things that He did. And just so in the thought of the Lord's Supper, observing the Lord's Supper this afternoon, we just want to read these verses here and just be reminded of these things. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 1, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then assembled together the chief priests, and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. And they said, Not on this feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on His head, and as He sat at meat. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, and it angered them, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." I was caught by that portion of that passage right there, that portion. I was caused to remember a message that the Lord had blessed me with some years ago about the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very interesting study. If you're looking for a new study, it might be something that you might want to pick up and take a look about the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I had 4 points to that: the anointing of the Lord in the world, the anointing of the Lord by God, and then the anointing of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord of us. And there was one other point in there, but it's very interesting. And here it is, this woman, she takes this alabaster box. Its cost is very, very great. But she takes that to where the Lord Jesus Christ there is at Bethany in Simon's house, and breaks it and pours it over His head. And some of the apostles, some of the disciples, they're tore up about it. It bothers them. Listen to what the Lord says. Verse 8. "To what purpose is this waste?" Verse 9. "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." Talking about preeminent, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not being ugly or mean or anything. He's just telling the truth. He said, "I'm here with you physically. And that exceeds the need of the poor." I mean, He's God. "For you have the poor with you, always with you," verse 11, "but me ye have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." And so the Lord Jesus Christ knows what He's facing, doesn't He? He is heading towards the cross with knowledge of that. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Once again, it's happened, hasn't it? We don't know her name. We don't know her name. I don't believe in the other accounts. I don't believe that we know her name. Maybe it is Mary. Mary Magdalene, possibly. We don't know. But the Lord knows. And everything that the Lord has for her, it's happening. She's getting it. It's happening. Because the Lord said as much, it'll be for a memorial for her. Verse 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him, that is the Lord. Verse 17, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. My time is at hand. The Lord knows, if this is early in that day, the Lord knows that by this time the next day, he's going to be on the cross. But he's not in a fret about it, is he? But he's orderly and organized and caring and ministering to his children, isn't he? I mean, that is just if somebody tells us tomorrow, this time tomorrow, you're going to be hanging on a cross, I'm going to be tempted to, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. I mean, the Lord wasn't, and he knew it, right? He knew it. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And we're going to get him and take him out in the street and beat him up right now. The Lord said, no, he's not worried about that either, is he? He states it. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Introspection there. It's very good. A good example to us. Not to be pointing the finger at our brothers and sisters in Christ, but Lord, what about me? Is it me? Lord, where do I fail? Lord, where do I need help? Lord, what do I need to repent of? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And all of them are there together in doing so. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, right? But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Something in recent times that the Lord has helped me to see, it is a blessing indeed that I was not ordained by the Lord to do the work of Judas Iscariot. Well, Brother Jim, so you mean the Lord did that with Judas? Yeah, he did. He's God. He can do with us whatever he wants to. And I praise his holy name that he didn't choose me to be used like that. So, well, that seems cross. That doesn't seem like God would be that way. We got to understand how great and how mighty and how big God is. The Lord is not just an elevated peer. He's God Almighty. All of our souls, all of our very life and breath is in his hands to do with what he wants. And he says, it had been better if he hadn't have been born, but he was born for that purpose. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said, you've said it. And the disciples, they don't understand that. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Took of that which was there with the Passover, and took that unleavened bread, and gave it to them that way, instituting the Lord's Supper. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, he took the cup, the beverage that was there, the fruit of the vine that was there, and he took it, and he used it. There was nothing had been established in the observance of the Passover going back to Egypt, but coming to this time, there was something there, and the Lord used that. And gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's a promise. He's not drinking it yet. Even now. From our estimation and our accounting of it, some 2,000 years from when these things took place, the Lord has refrained from it, waiting on us. I think he's speaking here to the disciples, but I think he's not just talking about them. Of course, in that first century, they all died and went on to be with the Lord. But I think he's talking about from the standpoint of the church. And he's waiting on us. You know, the Lord is pleased to wait on us. Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? That he values us so that he'd wait to drink it new in his Father's kingdom. And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, once again, he keeps bringing up the prophecy, doesn't he? He keeps telling, this has been foretold. This is not something that's just happening by chance, or we're playing it out and following as it goes and seeing what comes up. But this is ordained, as it is written. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. If I understand what time this is, it's well into the night, maybe even unto midnight or so, or coming up on midnight. The Lord knows by this time tomorrow, he'll be in the grave. But he's very much in control, isn't he? Very much in control. Very much settled. But verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, speaking to Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter says, I'm going to be solid with you to the end, Lord. The Lord says, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to deny me three times, Peter, before the rooster crows twice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They said, yeah, me too, me too, me too. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them in the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that is James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, listen to this, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The only thing that I can think that we can even have an inkling of what this is talking about is, have you ever thought, can you think back to the most depressed you have ever been? And I don't really think that that does it justice. Can you think back to the time that you have been grieved the most by something? So hurt, so torn, so bothered, so burdened, so loaded down. The Lord's grief at this point is beyond compare to the worst that we've ever experienced. Sorrowful unto death. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. I hadn't seen that in there like that. It tells us in Isaiah that the Lord even offered his soul for our sins. He poured out his soul for our sins. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face. We see here his humanity and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. The Lord Jesus Christ knows why he's come, and I don't believe he's looking to get out of what he has been sent to do, but I think he makes a question, is there another way? The answer is, there is no other way. There is no other way. And he gives us an example in his prayer here to the Father. Let this cup pass from me, the cup of suffering, the cup of separation from the Father, the cup of dying. God has never died. God can't die. It's part of the reason the Lord Jesus Christ became a man, so he could die. But he says here, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. And he cometh unto the disciples, verse 40, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? We're pretty weak, aren't we? Pretty weak. May the Lord help. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again to the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And so he submits to the Father. Verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He knows it. And he's not looking to rally them to his support or his defense, but he's looking to go and face it. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. This whole big old gang of men capable to fight, it seems, that they're coming. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. The Lord Jesus Christ, so from the standpoint of his physical appearance, it seems, and of course it was dark in Gethsemane, and they would likely have torches and such as that, but it was so, the Lord's appearance was so much so that he would just kind of blend into the crowd. It had to be that Judas had to give them the token of kissing the one who it was so they would know who the Lord was. He gave them a sign, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Judas is not his friend, is he? Judas is his enemy. But he calls him friend. Wherefore, what are you doing here? Why have you come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Is that the truth? He sure could, couldn't he? But he didn't. He was going to do this thing alone. He tells the disciple that cut that ear off of the high priest's servant. I think it was Peter, wasn't it? You know, some have said that Peter was just aimlessly whacking away. I think Peter was a fisherman and just took that dude out and went. It was like a shot over the bow, so to speak. Look out, boys. You want some trouble? We'll give you some trouble. The Lord said, put that thing up, Peter. And you know what the Lord did? What it tells us over, I believe, in the book of Luke? The Lord touched his ear and healed him. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a Savior. Verse 54, but how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? The Lord is just thinking about the Scriptures being fulfilled. That's what His interest is. That's what He's thinking. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. They said, what is going on? We don't stand a chance here. And they leave the Lord by Himself. Verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants. You notice what it says there? To see the end. You know, Matthew's writing this. And is it really the end? No, not really. It's really the beginning, isn't it? It's the beginning for the salvation. I mean, it's the beginning of it. To see the end. I think he conveys there their attitude. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, they found none. They couldn't get any to agree. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. So they couldn't get any witnesses to agree. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. I think that's prophetic to when he comes back. And boy, did they tear their shirt. Verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard this blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Yes, this is blasphemy. He makes himself equal with God. He says that he is the Son of God. Put him to death. Then they spit in his face and buffeted him. They punched him, smacked him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? And they mock the Lord there. And does he fight back? No. Does he revile back? No. He takes it. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Number one. And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I swear that that's not the case. I do not know the man. Number two. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You're a Galilean. You've got to be with him. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, you know, it tells us in one of the other Gospels that where they were there in that palace of the high priest, or maybe even by this point at the Sanhedrin, that the Lord turned around and looked at Peter. Peter quit the Lord, but the Lord didn't quit Peter, did he? I quit the Lord, but he won't quit me. You know what I mean? I've done the same thing. Had done the same thing, in a sense. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus. And that's what we need to remember. Which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The word there that it's used is repented. But what Judas Iscariot was troubled about was that he'd been caught. He'd been caught by God. He wasn't repentant for his sin, but he was sorry he got caught. And what did he do to escape it? He killed himself. This is not repentance that the Lord says that sinners should repent up in and that. Either here and not saved. This is not an example of that. This is an example of flying in the face of God and rejecting what God has commanded sinners to do. Judas sought his own relief. And it goes on, and of course it was prophesied that that would be the case. Verse 6, and the chief priest took silver, the silver pieces, and said it is not lawful for them for to put them into the treasury, because it was the price of blood, hit money. And boy, aren't they religious. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in, very charitable. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. May the Lord help us to be careful not to be that way of thinking. When that then was fulfilled, that which was spoken once again by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom that they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Prophecy. Even to that extent, it came to pass. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. What's he used to? He's used to men begging him for their lives. He's used to men pleading him, begging him for mercy, that they might live. And Jesus says nothing. Nothing. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Wherefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. They hated him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, that is Pontius Pilate, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. I find no fault in him, other accounts say. Then answered all the people and said, and this is prophetic, his blood be on us and on our children. And there's a couple ways that that can be looked at. But praise the Lord for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. we need that blood. We're guilty and our sins putting him there. But praise God that his blood washes sins away and washes us white as snow. Amen. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. Why? Did the Lord stumble and fall? No account in the Scripture of the Lord stumbling and falling. It's just a continuation of the mockery. You know where we get the Lord stumbling and falling? From accounts of men and their movies and such, that's the reason they had to have a man carry the Lord's cross, was because he couldn't do it himself. There's no account of that in the Scripture. What this is, I believe, is just a continued mock of the Lord, the King of the Jews. Why should he carry his own cross? And so Simon of Cyrene carries it before him. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. soured wine, that which was made and sold to the soldiers and given for the Roman soldiers and that. They mixed it with some sedative to try to be merciful to those it seems that they were crucifying. When the Lord tasted what it was, he would not drink it. He would not have his suffering subdued in any way. He was going to suffer it all alone. Verse 35, and they crucified him. He willingly laid down on that cross, on that tree, on that beam, and they nailed him there. They didn't have to wrestle our Lord down. They didn't have to goad him and prod him to submit to that, but he did so willingly. As a sheep, the Scripture tells us, as a sheep that's led to the slaughter, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for us. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Once again, it's prophesied. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head and his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Three things they throw in his face, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Praise the Lord, he didn't come down. Amen. He could have, but he didn't. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Thank the Lord he didn't. Verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Is there any that the Father loved greater than his Son? But then at that time, because of my sin, the Father wouldn't have him, would he? He turned his back on him. Amen. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, which is about noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's alone. He is suffering alone. And he's going to die alone. Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, some of that soured wine that they had for the soldiers there. Took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And he did. The rest said, let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He released his spirit from his body. He was in total control of when he would die. And it says, in another passage in the Gospels, it says that he said, it is finished. But so that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he says, I thirst. Even at that. So the Scripture would be fulfilled. He uttered those words, the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Lord's Supper for the sake of remembering this. It's a memorial that's given to us by the Lord. One of the ordinances that we have to remember the Lord's death to remember His broken body, to remember His shed blood. And I just want to go over a couple things with you here, and I want to get down here close with you in doing this, just because it's a very serious time, and it is a time that we do need to be close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we pick it up in verse number 7. The apostle here dealing with this church at Corinth, and we're not taking a look at the issue or anything like that. We're just taking a look at us, Olmsted Baptist Church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Scripture says here, the apostle Paul dealing with the church at Corinth, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump," because they had need of that, "as ye are unleavened," we're set apart for the Lord. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And we're not Jews. We were not given any observance or any command to observe the Passover. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb for us, even we Gentiles. He's fulfilled that for us. "Therefore, let us keep the feast." I believe it's speaking about the Lord's Supper. "Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Good, close fellowship with the Lord, with one another. Not ceremony, but sincerity and truth. "I wrote unto you in an epistle, not the company with fornicators." That's the issue at hand. "Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." We're going to be around folks that are sinners. It's going to be. "But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat." And so he gives command to the church, and to Olmsted Baptist Church, we understand this instruction that we evaluate ourselves. Is there anything in our midst that's disorderly? Is there a disorderly walk of the brothers and sisters here in the church that should be dealt with by the church? Is that the case? Inspection of ourselves as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without?" We don't deal with those. "Do not ye judge them that are within," as a church we should. "But them that are without, God judgeth." He'll take care of them. "Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person," in the context. And so I just ask you, as a church, is there anything that we know about as a church that we should deal with? Is there anything public of our membership that is according to the guidelines of these passages, this passage here, that should be dealt with? I don't believe so. But if any of your brethren know of anything, then we should. And then we want to turn over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then there's that introspection that we should have of ourselves. Introspection of the church collectively, and introspection of ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you," the apostle writes, "that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And so we need to examine ourselves. Is it such that we would eat and drink unworthily? And he tells us about what that means. Verse 28, "So we don't drink and eat and drink unworthily, but let a man examine himself," verse 28, "and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Here's the key, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body, I believe, from the standpoint of his body. Why is it that we observe the Lord's Supper? To finish our salvation? No. It's not discerning the Lord's body, is it? If it takes the observance of the Lord's Supper to finish our salvation, we don't estimate his body as being the sacrifice completely. We've got to have something else, don't we? Our salvation is by the Lord and him alone. This, the supper, tells that. The purpose needs to be right. We need to discern the Lord's body. We need to discern the church, don't we? Is not the church the Lord's body? We need to discern that well, right? And so, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. To this church here at Corinth, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Because of this lack of discernment of the Lord's body, this lack of understanding about the Lord's Supper, in their case, the poor practice in which they observed it, some had gotten weak, some had gotten sick, and some even the Lord had taken out, hadn't he? And so he says, examine ourselves, verse 28, and let us examine ourselves. Let us get that leaven out of our lives. Let us repent before the Lord and examine ourselves so the church doesn't have to deal with us. Amen? And let us so take the Lord's Supper and not do it unworthily, but let us correctly discern the Lord's body. This is not the Lord's body, but it tells about what the Lord's body went through, right? This does not complete our, this is not our salvation, but this tells about the one in whom our salvation is and what he did for us. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I got to deal with me. Me and the Lord got to deal with me. If my life gets out of the way and it becomes so public that the church has got to deal with it, then the church has got to deal with that. But let not that be the case amongst us. Amen. Let me mortify this old man. Let me repent of my sins before the Lord. Let the Lord forgive me and help me, okay? And I'm talking about me because I know about me the best, okay? You know about you the best. Let it not be a public thing that the church has got to be taken care of. Take care of me. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, that is of the church, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another.